on the phone with us from Static this evening. It's fantastic to talk to a man with a record out this week, Steve Gunn. How's things?
Things are very, very good. Yeah, I'm excited. The record's been out for a few days, and the response has been good. I'm getting ready to go on the road pretty soon. Feeling good.
I guess it's better than having a birthday putting a record out, right? More people wish you well.
It is, yeah. It felt like a weird sort of birthday holiday wrapped together. Yeah.
It must be good to have the record out too, Steve. I mean, you've been a wingman in bands and done collaborative records over the years too with the likes of Mike Cooper and Black Twig Pickers and all sorts of people. I mean, is it more freeing or perhaps lonely when you make a Steve Gunn album all on your own like this?
I mean, I feel pretty exposed, but at the same time, you know, the response has been great. It's definitely different than a collaborative thing. It's, you know, it's more personal. And I think the day that the record came out, I was kind of walking around like, oh, wow, now it's out into the world. You know, I no longer own it myself, kind of thing.
Is that because you feel more exposed writing your own songs, like when there's not other people sort of having a hand in it?
Yeah, I mean, luckily I have a really awesome band, but as far as the lyrical content, you know, it was pretty personal and I was sort of letting myself go a bit, which I think was great and pretty, you know, kind of like was helpful for me and therapeutic and all that. So
it wasn't an easy road to this record in some ways, Steve. I mean, your dad had passed away not long after the release of the last album, which was 2016's
yeah.
Eyes on the Lions. And you guys had sort of, as I understand, have been bonding a lot more. So that played into your thoughts about what you wanted to say on this record?
It did, yeah. I had spent a lot of time with him, and I kind of knew what I wanted to do. And I felt very comfortable in the studio, and I kind of knew I had the right support group in the studio, and I had things to say, and, you know, I had a pretty crazy year before, and I had time to kind of reflect and to be in my studio and really work on the words and get everything right. So it felt quite comfortable.
Is there almost some solace in thinking that you can honor him through song? Is that easier in some ways than, I don't know, having to talk to a bunch of people or something, Steve?
Yeah, it was a tribute to him, and it was my own kind of tribute. And, you know, I think that a lot of the stuff that I was sort of trying to kind of, the imagery that I was using was actual real. You know, I was walking sort of down his old street and observing what was going on. And it's so personal, but at the same time, it's kind of open to the world to however you want to sort of interpret it, which I think is quite nice. You know, people think like, oh, your lyrics are so vague, but, you know, I like to keep it that way, to not be so sort of personal and specific, to kind of make it more of kind of an offering to get people thinking and to set a mood and, you know, have that kind of exchange with the listener, you know.
Well, that song on the record that's directly about your dad, Stonehurst Cowboy, does mention the street in Stonehurst that he lived on, right? 69th Street. And did you live there as a kid as well? It's Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, which is a pretty small town, right?
Yeah, it's small. The 69th Street was just a few miles from Lansdowne. So my parents grew up there and moved more out to the suburbs. But I spent a lot of time in 69th Street. There's like a major train station there. And, you know, my grandfather worked there for 50 years driving a trolley. So our family sort of, you know, steeped in this one little section of Philly, you know.
And Joan Jett lived there as a kid too, huh?
She did, yeah. She's from Lansdowne. That's funny.
Man,
yeah.
I hope you guys get a joint plaque together at some point, Steve.
I know. Yeah, hope so.
Was that song, Stonehurst Cowboy, was that also the reason it was released as the first taste of the record? Did you want to let people know that this would be a more personal collection of songs?
I think so. I think that was the intention, you know, to kind of let some of the first songs, you know, express the kind of difference of what we put out in the past. And this record was definitely an important personal kind of statement for me.
And Steve, did finishing that song feel like a bit of a breakthrough for you as a lyricist then? I mean, for people who don't know, you've only had vocals on your albums for about 5 or 6 years. So you've kind of come a long way in that time in terms of writing down your thoughts and getting them into song.
Yeah, I think it just came with practice and trusting, you know, my ability to kind of use language as a tool, you know, to kind of express the way that I'm feeling. And I, like I said, I like the exchange of language, and I like, you know, using it in almost, you know, sort of musical way, and also a way to kind of walk people through certain things and help people feel a certain way. You know, I don't necessarily think that the songs are overly confessional or personal specifically, but, you know, I like to, you know, I was reading a lot of poetry and books and literature and, you know, trying to kind of, you know, I know that it takes work. Before, I didn't realize how much work it takes to create kind of fluidity with language. And, you know, it was always easy for me to throw some words together and play guitar and move on. But this was something very different. This was something that was so important to me. And I did a lot of editing and a lot of thinking about what I wanted to say.
I also wonder, Steve, after Stonehurst Cowboy, if some other members of your family will now be angling to have songs written about them.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's funny. They're all excited, and you know, that my mom is really kind of excited about it. She knows that my dad would have loved it. It's important, you know.
Well, Steve, a lot of the other songs on the Unseen In Between are still pure character studies. Tracks like Vagabond,
yeah,
and
true.
And Luciano. I mean, I love the fact that Luciano is not even from another person's perspective, but it's written from a cat's perspective, right? So you're getting inside the heads of animals as well as people.
True, yeah. I was inspired to kind of use a relationship with a cat and its owner as a kind of a figurative statement as far as supportive relationships go. And, you know, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's also quite serious. So I kind of liked that sort of play with those kinds of topics and emotions, you know.
I think you're tapping into a huge new market. You know, if you can sell records to pets, there's no stopping you.
Yeah, that's my that might be my future. music for animals.
Yeah, not music for airports, music for animals by Steve Gunn.
Yeah.
You've also got some star power on this new record because the song Vagabond features Meg Baird. Now, she was on Kurt Vile's Smoke Ring for My Halo and the last Kevin Morby record. So were you a fan of Meg's? It's pretty exciting to have her on the album, Steve.
Yeah, it was very exciting. I've been a fan of Meg's for a long time. And when I was kind of figuring out what I was doing back in Philadelphia many years ago, she was in a band called the Espers. And, you know, she was this really kind of important figure of the music community then. And we've stayed close friends and have been in touch over the years. And we've always wanted to collaborate. So this was the one moment where I was finally felt like I was qualified to ask her, you know.
Her presence and hearing her vocals is almost calming as well.
Yeah, I think her sort of supportive singing is unparalleled. I don't know anyone else that can quite sing like her. It's really special.
Did you make her watch the song's inspiration first? Because Vagabond's about an Agnes Varda film. So did you kind of like word her up on what the song was influenced by?
I did, yeah. We talked about it, and she's familiar of the film and a really big fan, so I think it sort of only helps the situation, you know.
And outside of the singers and the lyrics, Steve, I mean, as a guitar head, is there sometimes still a new pedal or technique you're itching to show off on a record? Do you come to making an album and think, I can't wait to do this?
Yeah, I mean, we're constantly trying stuff in the studio, and I'm always, you know, I've stay up late looking at music gear almost all the time, so I'm like a complete maniac when it comes to pedals and guitar sorts of things, and guitars themselves, you know. It's a constant sort of road.
The opening song, New Moon, has this great How Soon Is Now kind of tremolo undercurrent about it, Steve.
Yeah. Me and James Elkington were big Smiths fans, and we were always kind of discussing that moment in How Soon Is Now where, you know, Johnny Marr basically had two Fender Twins with the tremolo pump cranked and in stereo, and also, as it was happening, was manipulating the tremolo manually as it was recording. So we were always wanted to kind of fit that in somewhere, and we felt that in New Moon it was like a perfect spot. So thank you, Johnny Marr, if you're listening.
In the spirit of kind of freewheeling guitar work as well, apparently that Smith song was like sort of 15-minute jams they worked it out of as well.
Wow, crazy. I want to hear that full-length version.
I'm sure some fans got it on the internet somewhere, Steve.
Yeah.
At the other end of the record, the closing track, Paranoid, has this chime or bell on it as well. It almost sounds like your ELO song, Steve.
Oh, nice. That's a first. We have these huge bells at the studio from a church. They were just sort of there, kind of like in the corner of the room, and the engineer was like, what are those notes? and he just pulled this enormous contraption out and was like, okay, I'm going to try this, and just like got a mallet and pounded those notes out.
Wow.
Pretty quickly.
So that's not something you can take on the road then. You're going to need a semi-trailer to take the bells on the road, aren't you?
Yeah. We might have to record it with like a little tape deck or something.
We might have a listen to Paranoid on the show now, but it's so great to have the record out. And here's hoping you get to come back to Australia at some point, Steve.
Yeah, I really hope to soon. You know, I'm working on it.
I'm going to plant this now. Can you please bring Meg Baird with you?
Yes. I'm sure she would love to come, so.
Done.
I'll extend the invitation for sure.
Good job. All right. Well, we might have a listen to Paranoid from the Unseen In Between now. Thanks for the chat. This is Steve Garn on Static. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for the call. Step into the wall, throw it like a thing. It's a thing that swings in the waves, in the sun. It's a pendulum.